Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Aleph. The Gemara says in the bottom of Kuf Nun Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom, Klal Omar Abba Shaul Kol She'ani, etc. Now, there's anything that I'm allowed to say on Shabbos, I'm allowed to go to the end of the Tchum Shabbos, 2,000 Amos outside city limits, for those purposes as well. We saw that you're allowed to say, for example, I plan on watching my fruits after Shabbos, because watching fruits is not a melacha on Shabbos. You're allowed to say that. So too, you're allowed to go to the edge of the tchum in order to also be closer for when you can watch your peros after Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following, Abba Shaul Ahai, on what halacha did Abba Shaul say, make his statement? What is he adding to? Ilema Reisha Koi, if you want to say that he's adding to the Reisha that the Tadakaba says that it's forbidden. What's forbidden? Ein machshichim al tchum liskor poam lahavi peros. Now, when the Tadakaba says that you can't go to the edge of the tchum Shabbos in order to hire workers who are, let's say, right outside the tchum to bring fruits. So on this, he says that it depends on the prohibition of amira. Hai kol shani zakai b'amirasa rashani b'chashechaso. You should have said the line of whatever I'm allowed to, in the positive sense, whatever I'm allowed to say, then I'm also allowed to be machshik ala tchum, allowed to go to the edge of the tchum. Since it says in the lashon of iser, of prohibition, kol she'eni zakai b'amiraso, eni rashai b'chashechaso miboile. I'm sorry, it's the opposite, right? It should have said, I'm saying, why is it use a lashon of permission? In other words, it says anything that I'm allowed to say, I'm allowed to be machshich. Why does it say? It should have said, kol she'eni zakai b'amiraso, eni rashai b'chashechaso. Anything that I'm not allowed to say, I'm not allowed to be machshich on the tchum. In other words, because if he's modifying, if he's sort of clarifying or modifying, or I guess, or adding to the statement of the Reisha is talking about Isser, about a prohibition. So his statement should also be the lashon of Isser. Ella aseifa koi. Rather, his statement has to be going on the seifa, which says, Machshichu al lishmor peiro, lishmor maybe peiros biyado, which says in the positive that you're allowed to be machshich, go to the edge of the tchum in order to watch your fruits right after Shabbos, which is just outside the tchum. Then the Gemara, so since that was said in a positive thing, in a positive formulation, what you're allowed to do, so therefore he's making a general rule, and that makes more sense according to the Gemara at this stage. Then the Gemara asks, Kol she'ani zakai b'chashechaso, rashai ani b'amiraso miboilei. So he says, though, that actually, if indeed if you want to say that's going on the seifa, we still have a question. Why do we use this lashon? You should have said, Kol she'ani zakai b'chashechaso. In other words, anything that I'm allowed to be machshich on the tchum, I'm allowed to say. In other words, you should the heter of amira, which is not explicit in the Mishnah, you should be tola that with the heter of chashech of hachshacha. In other words, the Gemara, he's trying to add to what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says you're allowed to be machshich on the tchum. So if he's trying to add a halacha, what should he have said? That anything that I'm allowed to be machshich on the tchum, what we just said in the Mishnah, any situation there, I'm also allowed to say on Shabbos. If you're trying to add a halacha, the Mishnah says explicitly first, the Sefer says explicitly first, you're allowed to be machshich on the tchum for these cases. So if he wants to add something, he should have said, kol she'ani machshich ala tchum, you know, and whenever I'm allowed to be machshich on the tchum, so then I'm allowed to say it also on Shabbos. But it doesn't say that, it says the reverse. So la'olam ha'sefer koi. Vabashol ahokol. So really, his statement is really going on the seifa, who allows you to be machshich on the tchum to watch his fruits, and Abashol, who basically links the heter of hachshacha. He relies on this halacha that's not explicit in the Mishnah, but he wants to learn other halachos, and we're going to see what the other halachos are. Da'amar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Mutter la'adam lomar l'chavero, Shmor li peros shebitchumcha, v'ani eshmor l'cha peros shebitchumi. So really what he's really saying is, he's trying to learn other halachos, such as that you're allowed to tell your friend, watch my fruits in your tchum, that are outside my tchum, and I will watch your fruits that are that are in my tchum, that are outside your tchum. So I'm not allowed to go to where your fruits are. You're not allowed to go to where my fruits are. But I'm asking you to do something which is permitted for you to do, and that's okay. And you're asking me to do something that's permitted for me to do. So this is permitted. And by the way, there's an interesting halacha that emerges from this Gemara, and that is the following. The Rashba writes, and it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, that let's say I'm a Kabbal Shabbos early. So am I allowed to ask you to do something which is forbidden for me, but permitted for you? So we bring this Gemara, at least the Rashba brings this Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes this, that sin, even though I'm not allowed to do malacha, I'm asking you to do something that's permitted to you, and this is permitted. The Ran disagrees, but the it seems to be this is the halacha, this is the accepted halacha based on this Gemara. Now the Gemara says v'kamar abashol l'tanakama milo moda. So that and abashol now says to the tanakama, wouldn't you admit the mutter adam lomar lachavero shmorli peiro shebitchum chavani shmor lacha peiro shebitchumi. Wouldn't you admit to this halacha that Shmuel said that a person is allowed to tell his friend, watch my fruit in your tchum, and I will watch for you the fruits in my tchum? Ema, ve'ema, and you should have said, kol she'ani zakai bamiraso, rasha'ani lahakshi chalav. You could have just said in general, and said, anything that I'm allowed to say on Shabbos, I'm also allowed to be machshich on the tchum, and we would have learned additional halachos. So the Gemara is going to clarify now what are the types of heterim that are learned from this rule of Abishol. Klal lasuyimai, what is he really adding from his statement? Lasuyaha de tanu rabbanon. It includes that what the rabbis teach us. Ein machshichim al tchum lahavi behema. You're not allowed to be machshich on the tchum, walk to the end of the tchum on Shabbos in order to bring an animal inside the tchum on Motzei Shabbos. Ha'isa omedes chutz tchum. If the animal is standing outside the tchum, korilah v'hiba. You're allowed to call it to it on Shabbos, so that it comes, and we're not concerned that you're going to go outside the tchum. Klal Omar Abba Shaul. So, but now on this statement, Abba Shaul comments, Kol Shani Zakai Bamiraso Rashani Lahakshi Chalav. That anything that I'm allowed to say on Shabbos, I'm also allowed to be machshich on the tchum. V'umachshichin lefakeach al iske kala. And from based on this, I'm allowed to go to the end of the tchum in order to let's say, get stuff for a wedding. Let's say I have to bring hadas branches, and I want to, at Motzei Shabbos, the hadas branches are right outside the tchum Shabbos. I want to get close to there, and so I want to bring the hadas branches for the kala. Valiske hameis havilo aron v'tachrichim. Or for example, that I'm or to bring anything that the mace needs for the Aaron or the Tachrichim. Again, we said, in, I think in yesterday's daf, that since Chefsei Shamayim are permitted to talk about on Shabbos, you're allowed to talk about mitzvos on Shabbos, even if they involve a malacha. So you're allowed to talk about Chefsei Shamayim, so you're also allowed to go to the edge of the Tchum, so that right after Shabbos, you could do a malacha for the purpose of a mitzvah. Va'omrim lo, and on Shabbos, you can tell a shaliach, lech lemakom ploni, go after Shabbos to a particular place to buy the needs of the collar of the mace. Ve'im lo matzasa b'makom ploni, havi b'makom ploni. And if you don't find to buy them in a particular place, bring them from a particular place. Lo matzasa b'mone, havi b'masayim. If you didn't find to bring them for $100, bring them and spend $200. Rabbi Yossi, Barav, again, because this is Chefetz Shemayim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Uvavach Liyaskilo Schum Mecca. He says, for Chefetz Shemayim, you're allowed to tell someone to buy things for the kala or for the mace, provided that you don't mention the price. So we have this small machlokes here. Okay, so the Mishnah now discusses, continuing our discussion of machshich ala tchum. The Mishnah says, machshichin ala tchum lefakeach. This is now this is the Mishnah which mentioned this. Lefakeach aliske kala, aliske ameis, lavi lo orim v'tachrichin. You're allowed to get close to the edge of the tchum in order to investigate the needs of a kala or the needs of a mace to bring a coffin or shrouds on Motzei Shabbos. It's since the needs of a kala or a mace are tzorchei mitzvah, we're allowed to be machshich on the tchum. Nachri shehevi chalilit b'Shabbos, a non-Jew who brought musical instruments on Shabbos in order to eulogize with them. Lo yispo behem Yisrael, a Jew is not allowed to eulogize using these musical instruments because this is a penalty that from the chachamim that you're not allowed to benefit from a forbidden malacha that a non-Jew did for you on Shabbos, ela im kein, bo mi makom karov, unless they came from a close place inside the Tchum Shabbos. If they brought it, v'nachri brought it inside the Tchum Shabbos, then that is permitted. But if they came, what's interesting, I think Tosus points out, that we're only concerned with the issue of Tchum Shabbos and not the issue with Hotzah, with the issue of carrying. We're not saying that if they brought it, let's say they carried it, let's say the non-Jew carried it from a different place, so that would not make it usher. They're mutter bahana because that's a weaker form of malacha, Hotzah. But if it's something comes from outside the Tchum, so that anything that's outside the tchum at the onset of Shabbos, you can never benefit from it on Shabbos. You can never benefit from it on Shabbos or even after Shabbos. For the malacha of Hotzah, since I guess theoretically you could have gone there and used the musical instruments and, you know, there, whatever the case is, since it's inside the tchum, so then, I'm sorry, if it's inside the tchum, so then if the non-Jew carried it to you, then you're allowed to benefit from it. But if it was outside the tchum, so then you're not allowed to benefit from it. Asu lo aron, if the non-Jews made for you a coffin, ve chafru lo kever, if they dug a grave for a, I'm sorry, let me strike that. If non-Jews made a coffin for a non-Jew, or they dug a grave for a non-Jew, then ye cover bo Yisrael. Then a Jew can be buried in the coffin or in the grave immediately after Shabbos is over. Vim bishvil Yisrael lo ye cover bo olamis. And if they did it for a Jew, you cannot be buried at all. Now, the reason why that you can be someone can be buried immediately after Shabbos, if they do it for a non-Jew, because again, the penalty of benefiting from a non-Jew's malacha only applies if it was done for the purpose of a Jew. But if it was done for the purpose of a non-Jew, so the non-Jew did something for himself, and then you can benefit from it because it wasn't done for you. Okay? So the Gemara now says, "My mimakum karov." So the Mishnah said that you're not allowed to eulogize with these music, or with, I think they're flutes, that a non-Jew brought on Shabbos, unless it was known that it was brought from a close place. So my mimakum karov, what's considered makum karov? Rav Amar mimakum karov mamish. That you need to know for sure that it was inside the tchum. Shmuel Amar chayshinan shema chutz l'chom alanu. Shmuel says, even if we saw that the non-Jew brought them on Shabbos to the city, we can still be lenient and say that maybe they were just outside the wall and within 2,000 amos, and they were not brought out to the tchum. In other words, the debate between Rav and Shmuel is a situation where you're not sure whether it was brought from outside the tchum. If you know it was brought from inside the tchum, it's definitely permitted. If you know it was brought from outside the tchum, it's definitely forbidden. What if you're not sure? Rav says, if you're not sure, then it's aser. It's forbidden. Shmuel says, it's permitted. So, daika masnisin kavasi de Shmuel. We can infer from our Mishnah that follows Shmuel's position. Dikatani, asa lo aron v'chafa lo kever yikaver bo Yisrael. That we learned that if you made an aron and you dug a kever, a Jew should be buried in it, even though you can argue that it was made for Yisrael. Alma misveka shari. So we see that based on a doubt, it's permitted. Hachanami misveka shari. So from a doubt also it's permitted. V'tani kavasi the Rab, but we also have a price that supports Rab's position. Kirshi Yisrael v'nachrim darim bo. Let's say there's a city that both Jews and non-Jews live in. And there's a bathhouse that people bathe b'Shabbos, on Shabbos. Imrov Nachrim, if most of the city is made up of non-Jews, La Erev Rochetz Bamiyad, on Saturday night, the Jew can bathe in it immediately. Imrov Yisrael, Yamtin Ad Kidei Sheichamu Hamayim, that if most of the city is made up of Jews, so then what happened? The non-Jews are warming it up for the Jews. So we go by the majority. And then you would have to wait on Motzei Shabbos and not bathe immediately until the time it takes for the water to get heated. Mechzal mechzal, let's say it's half and half. Then Ad Kadei Sheyachmu Chamin. We treat as if a city where the majority is made up of Jews. By the way, just a practical example, let's say Bagel Boss in Oceanside. So that you're allowed to go and buy the bagels immediately after Shabbos is over. Why? Because we assume, because the Bagel Boss predominantly serves non-Jews, so they're doing malacha on Shabbos, right? They're baking the bread, the bagels on Shabbos, but it's done predominantly for non-Jews. And therefore, you don't have to wait the time it takes to bake bagels. I would assume that it doesn't take so long to bake bagels. So I would imagine, I think the bagel, or whatever, the Dunkin' Donuts, I think there's one store in the Five Towns, the Vada Five Towns gives hashgacha for on Shabbos. I think the Dunkin' Donuts, so that they might serve majority of Jews. But then, so like, how long you have to wait? How long does it take to bake a bagel? Not so long. So you probably there you'd have to wait the time it takes to do that problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ba'ambati Kitana, when there is in a bathhouse a very small pool that the water gathers there, Im Yesh Ba Rishus Rochetz Ba Miyad, if there is a ruler, then you can bathe immediately. So my rishus, why is that? Like, what does it mean rishus? I'm Rav Yehuda, Rav Yitzchak, pray the Rav Yehuda, im yesh ba adam chashuv, there's a chashuv, important person, shish lo asar avadam shemechavim lo asar kumkumim bevas achas bebati katana. That says an important person, a leader, that has 10 servants, that heat for him 10 kettles of water at once in a small pool or small bath, and mutter lirchos ba miyad, you'll have to bathe in it immediately at the onset, after Shabbos is over. Why? Because even if, because you can rely that the hot water the Jew finds in this ambati, in this bath, were not heated on Shabbos, but they were heated on Motzei Shabbos for this Adam Chashev. So Rashi, by the way, points out that it doesn't mean immediately, but it means after the small time it takes to heat water through many servants and many kettles. In other words, what we're saying here is you can if it's a small bath and there are many workers and there are many ways to heat the bathhouse, obviously you have to wait a less time than the bathhouse where there's one bathhouse attendant and it takes a much longer time to heat the water. Okay. The mission also said, also lo Aaron v'chafru lo kefer. Let's say they made an Aaron for him, a coffin, and they dug a kever for him. So the Gemara says that if they made the Aaron, the kever for the non-Jew, a Jew could be buried in it. Amai, why are you allowed to bury a Jew at the when Shabbos is over? Didn't we say that when it comes to a bathhouse, you should be strict and wait? Hachanami yamtim b'chdei shiyasu. So maybe that even though if the non-Jew did it for himself, you don't know for sure. And so you should be concerned that maybe he did it for the Jew. The Gemara says, Amar Ula ba'omed b'isracha. Let's say if the kever is found on the king's highway, where there are a lot of people walk by, and Jews don't get buried there. So we're not concerned that it was made for a Jew. So then you are allowed to benefit from it. Tenach kever or Michael Amemar. So I understand a kever, but what about a coffin? How do you know that that was definitely not made for a Jew? Amar Rabbi Bahu, bimutol al kivro. Let's say the coffin was placed on a non-Jewish kever. So then you know, let's say you have you dug a kever on the king's road, and then you put a coffin on it, so it's clearly made for a non-Jew, so a Jew is allowed to use it immediately after Shabbos is over. Next Mishnah says, Osin, kol tzarchei meis. You're allowed to do on Shabbos all needs for a deceased. So, and you're allowed to do that. This is what a Jew is allowed to do. Sachir b'dichin also, you're allowed to smear him with oil, and wash him in water. B'vashel yaziz bo'ever, as long as you don't lift one of his limbs, because the mace is mukta, So by the way, in practice, what we do in practice is we don't touch the dead body on Shabbos. What we're saying here is to preserve the body, to make sure he doesn't decompose, whatever, that doesn't start smelling, that remains fresh. So you can pour water sort of to keep the body fresh. You can smear oil on it, but you can't move any limb because the mace is muksa, and you're not allowed to move a mace. You're not allowed to move something that's muksa, but you're allowed to touch something that's muksa. Okay? And then he says also, let's say if you want to lower the mace, the deceased, from his bed and to put him on the sand, so he'll stay fresh longer. So you can't move him with your hands. Rather, shomtim esakar mitachtov metilin oso. I'm not sure exactly what you're doing. So if you're removing the pillow from under him, and then metin also alachol. I'm not exactly sure how you're doing that. If he just, what's the case where he's basically just his head is on the, I guess he's on a cushion. So you remove the pillow. So indirectly, I guess the situation is that he's on a cushion and the cushion's on the sand and you're moving the cushion, so now he's lying on the sand. So that you're not touching the mace directly. We saw that muksa is permitted to move, minatzad. You're allowed to move it in an indirect manner. That's what this is. And this is bishvil sheyamtin, so that he won't smell because of the heat of the sheets or the pillows. And koshrim esalechi, You're allowed to tie the, I guess, the jaw together if it's open, but lo shiyala. You're not allowed to tie in the way that you close what was already open, if it was already open, because you can't move the limbs. Ela shelo yosif. So you're allowed to tie the jaw of the mace in a way where it doesn't open more, but you can't close it shut because you can't move the limbs of the body. Again, I think in general that we just don't touch the body on Shabbos. V'chein koresh nishbara sochimosa b'safsel o ba'arukos hamita lo shetala ela shelo tosif. Similarly, if you have a beam on a roof that broke and it's starting to fall down, you're allowed to lean the beam on a bench or on the leg of a bed, but you can't lean it in a way that it will be restored to its original place, because that is a prohibition of bona. But you're allowed to, you know, put something, the leg of a bed as a support, so that it doesn't break further. Okay? So the Gemara now says,
Rabbi, excuse me.
Sure.
So let's say I actually had this case. I was in Flatbush many, many years ago. A person passed away Shabbos morning in Shul.
Oi.
And we had to deal with the situation. Rabbi Sharpman at that time was, well, I had to deal with it with somebody else. So he was like, I begged him basically in a bathroom. He passed away. I had a heart attack. So we decided that because of the situation that we would need to move him, we actually moved him into the rabbi's study where there was air conditioning. It was a June Shabbos, a very long day. Had we left him where he was, first of all, it would have been probably a good desire on a mace.
Right.
And secondly, it probably would have been a problem in terms of everything else. So we at that point, we decided to move him. And forgot exactly how we did it.
Ah, so, right. So, David, so I wonder, did you use a non-Jew?
Yeah, I think we used it.
So that solves all. So David, that solves all the problems.
Yeah, I think we had the custodian do it. I helped us. I mean, we couldn't.
Yeah. So again, the two leniencies would be, we saw that if you put a piece of bread on the mace, so you can move the mace to move the piece of bread, which is a specific leniency for the mace, for kavod mace. But I would imagine that the preferred route would be to use a non-Jew. You're allowed to have a non-Jew move muksa on Shabbos, even for any purpose. In other words, there's no, even not for a mace. You're allowed to, you know, it's like sometimes, you know, nowadays, let's say, if you have a simcha, right, on Shabbos, so they don't, they put, let's say, the centerpieces, they'll put flowers, they don't put potted plants, because potted plants are muksa, flowers are not muksa. But let's say by accident they put potted plants. So you take the non-Jew to the non-Jewish waiters, they'll remove it. So again, I don't know what the matzav was. And
It's like 40 years ago.
So yeah, that's what I'm saying, David. No, I'm saying. So I'm wondering, I guess we don't know exactly what he did. I'm sure he did it correctly.
I remember exactly because it was we actually had a kohen that was supposed to lame that Shabbos.
Oh, wow. So you had to leave or something?
I mean, not let Kohanim into the shul.
Right. Wow.
So I actually had to lame that Shabbos.
Okay. Right. So I would imagine that he probably had the non-Jew do it, and maybe somehow the Jews would move it indirectly.
Yeah. Rabbi Sharpman wasn't there. He was away from Shabbos. I was there and one or two other people. So
right.
I think, and I know he did involve the soup. I don't know exactly
right. Okay.
How he did it. Okay. In any event.
Yeah, interesting. That is halacha l'maaseh. Yeah. Okay. V'amar Rav Yehuda, thank you. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Ma'aseh b'tamim Moshe Rabbi Meir shenichnas achol lebeis hamerchatz. So there's a story with a student of a mayor that he entered after him to a bathhouse on Shabbos. Bikesh la'diach karka. So the student wanted to rinse the ground of the bathhouse in water for kavod of his Rebbe. Amar lo, ein medichin. You can't rinse the ground on Shabbos. You can't wash it on Shabbos. What about lasuch karka? What about to put oil on the ground? Amar lo, ein tzachin. You can't do it. So what was thought at this point is that maybe because the ground is muksa, and that's why you can't do it. And therefore, it's a question, how can you do that to the mace? So the Gemara says, karka b'karka michlafei, mace b'karka lo michlaf. So Gemara says that really you're allowed to smear You're allowed to smear oil on a muksa item on Shabbos. And that which Rav Meir says that you can't do it on the ground is for a different reason. That because while you're smearing it, you might, you know, straighten, right, classic mashve gumos. You might even out the ground. So they made a decree that they said that you can't smear the ground with oil, even if there's a floor, a gezerah, because of a ground that's not floored. Because you're gonna say, what's the difference between this ground and that ground? Again, we're lenient nowadays. I think the Rama writes that since nowadays, I think it's the Rama, but I know this is halacha lemaisa. Since nowadays, most of our floors in town are floors are floored and have tile, so we're not concerned that you're gonna be mashve gumos. If let's say you live in a city where most of the floors are not tiled, so even if the floor was tiled, so there might be an issue with, you know, washing the floor, brooming the floor, there might be an issue of mashva gumos. But so that's what we're concerned about, smearing the oil, because of the gzeira that specifically applies to the ground. Mace bakarkalo michlef. We're not concerned that if you smear oil on a mace, then you're going to start to be mashva gumos. So the Gemara now says, kol asuye mai, when it says you're allowed to do all the needs of the mace. So what does that include? Lasuye ha de tanu rabbanan. It includes that which our rabbis teach us. Mevin clay mekar v'clay matachos u'menichen al kreso k'dei shelo tafua. You're allowed to bring kalim that are, I guess, cold when you touch them, like glasses and also metal kalim, and place them on the u'menichem al kreso, and place them on the belly of the mace to cool him off. K'dei shelo tafuach, so it doesn't. So the stomach doesn't, swell. Upoki and esnikau, you ought to seal up the orifices of the mace. Kadesh lo tikanas behemaruach, so that the air doesn't come in it and the body will swell. Vav Shlomo Amar Machachmas, and Shlomo even said in his wisdom, ad asher lo yirasik chevel al kesef zeo chut hashidra, that the spine, its form is like, I guess, a rope. And the color is white, like silver. So, and in Yirasik Cheval Kesef means that the spine of a person after his death becomes like a chain. Yirasik, like a chain. V'taras Gulas Hazav Ze'ama. And then, and this refers to the Ama is, right, the I think it's the organ. I think that there's water. I guess water comes out of it and it flows like a spring. And it's like after a person dies, his that's referring to his organ, I think, right? So that that gets broken. Bitishvar kad al hamabua. So the mabua refers to the keres, the stomach, which is thick. And after he dies, it breaks. Benaros hagagol habor. The gagol is the perish. That refers to the insides or the excrement, I think, that comes out of a person. That's from the galgal, from galal, and that's after he dies. So the stomach swells up, and the excrement falls. I guess and the excrement comes out. The Gemara then says v'cheni omer. That the excrement, I guess, that's almost, it comes on his face, I think, because I think the stomach sort of swells and explodes. Scatters the excrement all over his face. Okay. So we want to avoid that. He wants to say what this pasuk of Perish Chagechem refers to. It refers to people who leave Divrei Torah and make all their days like holidays. They just have tanugim, enjoyment, all their days. You should have some time to enjoy, but not all the time. Amar Rabbi Levi, Amar Papi, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, La'achar Shlosh Shiyamim, Kresa Nifkasa. The 3 days that the person dies, his stomach explodes or disintegrates, Ve'nofels Alpanav, and the feces fall on his face. Amar Lo, Toma Shidan Satabi. The stomach says, take what you gave me. This one, you ate or drank. Okay. The Mishnah says, Eime Atzmim Es... We don't close. You're not allowed to close the eyes of a mace on Shabbos. Again, that's muksa. Velo b'chol, that you're moving muksa there, moving the eyelids. Velo b'chol im yitzias hanefesh, and also even during the week, you're not allowed to close it when the person is dying. And if you do close it while you're dying, then it's like you're spilling blood, because when the person is about to die, so you are speeding up his death, which is forbidden. Tanar Baran Hamaatzmo Imitzias Neves Harayz Shofek Damim. Someone closes the eyes of a ghost, says while he's dying, you're speeding up his death. Mashal Laner Shekav Volechas. Let's say you have a flame that's sort of flickering out. Adaminich Etzpal Alaham. You put your finger on it. Miyat Kavsa. You're extinguishing it. Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says Harayz Shiatzmo Einav Shel Meis. If you want to close the eyes of a mace on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. No feich lo yaim bechotmo. Yes, you breathe. What are you doing? You're putting wine in his nostrils. Vinosin shemen ben risa enav. You put oil between his eyelids. Beoches bishne gudle raglov. And you hold, I guess, the two big toes. Behemi sasim elehem. And the eyes will close. Okay. Tanya Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Tinog ben Yomo, a child who's one day old. Chai Machal Lovis Shabbos. As long as he's alive, you're Machal Shabbos to save him. David Melch Yisrael Meis, a Machal Lovis Shabbos. David Melch Yisrael who dies, you're not Machal Shabbos after he dies. Very powerful statement. Tinog ben Yomo Machal Lovis Shabbos. Amar Torah Chal Lovis Shabbos Echad Kedishishmon Shabbos Harbe." One of the reason why you have to save the life of a child is violate one Shabbos, so that he will observe many Shabbosos. David Melch Yisrael, Meis Ein Mechal Alav. If David Melch Yisrael dies, we're not Mechal Shabbos for him. Why? Because Kevin Shemeis Adam, once a person dies, then Batal Min HaMitzvos, he is not obligated Mitzvos. So I need to Amar B'Yochanan, B'Meisim Chavshi, Kevin Shemeis, I'm not Shechavshi Min HaMitzvos. Once a person dies, he is free from mitzvos. V'tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tinok ben Yomo, he also says a child who's at least one day old, Chai, if he's a living, Ein Tzarech L'Shom Min HaChuldo Min HaAchbarim. We don't need to watch him, guard him from a weasel or mice that might bite him. Ava Og Melech HaBashem, Meis, but Og Melech HaBashem who dies, Tzarech L'Shom Min HaChuldo Min HaAchbarim. We have to make sure that guard him from a weasel and Achbarim, because living things, are only afraid from living people, even if it's a baby one day old. Shenemar, Umarachem Echitchem Yeh. So it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, and he gives him the bracha, and he says that living creatures are going to be afraid of you. Kol Zman She'Adam Chai Emasa Mutal Salbrios. As long as the person is living, his dread is placed on the other living creatures. Kevin Shemes, once he dies, then butlay muscle, you're no longer afraid of him. Amar Papa Nikitna, Arye Abe Tre Lo Nafil. A lion does not chase after two people who are found together to kill them. Because the pasuk says, Umorachem Echitchem. So he says, the lashon of Morachem means that, I think that he's saying that if the fear and dread that you have on animals is when at least two people are together. Okay, I don't know if they tried this, but okay. So he's saying two people, you don't have to worry with the lion if you have two people together. But wait a second, we see that that's not the case, that lions do chase after two people. So that is like Rami Bar Abba. An animal only rules over a person if the person appears in the eyes of the animal like a behema, like an animal. A person who is, I guess, what's he saying here? He's saying that if a person who is like an animal, so what does that mean if he's like an animal? What's he saying here? So he's saying that someone who a wild animal rules over him, there is someone who, if a wild animal is not afraid of a person, it's known that that person appears to be a domesticated animal to the lion. Let's say it's talking about a lion, because Misa has been, death has been destined for him. I guess he's going to be death is in his has been planned for him. So then he in that instance, a wild animal can chase after two people. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chanina.
They appear to the animal like other animals.
So I'm curious at what point. Well, I'm curious at what point. Yeah, like at what point does this happen? Is it like? No, I'm saying it's like every person is Niknasal of Misa. In other words, we're mortal human beings. So I'm just trying to understand what this means exactly. Like, at what point are you Niknasal of Misa? It means that somehow, at some point in your life, you're okay. We know when you're going to die. I'm not sure at what point that happens. But once that happens, so then a wild animal would chase after even two people. So you shouldn't sleep alone in the house. If you sleep alone, then the demon Lilith will grab you. Okay. The Gemara now says the following. V'tanya Rav Shimon ben Lazar Omer. You should do tzedakah immediately when you have the opportunity. Ad shata motzi. When you can find poor people. Matzei lachan. You have money. Bot chav yadon. And when you have money and you still have it. Before you die. Even Shlomo said this in his wisdom. You should remember your creator and your youth before you for the bad times come. So the Bible says, what are Yimei Ra? Eli Yimei Zikn. These are the old age, when you're weak and you don't have the power to do that which you can do in your youth. And when it says there will be You'll achieve years where you're going to say, I don't have any desire for them. This refers to the Messianic age, where at that time, there's no opportunity to do mitzvos or sins, right? Because that's it. Because in the Messianic age, everyone's going to be wealthy, okay? And there's not going to be poor people. So pliga de Shmuel, but
Rabbi, I'm sorry, just go back to your question about the Niknas Alamisa. It's that according to Maral, it says he doesn't mean actually that the animal views the person as another animal. It means that if the person acts in, quote, an unworthy manner, the animal loses the fear of attacking.
Ah, right, so, right.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, if he acts animalistic, he lets his animalistic side, right. That makes a lot of sense. In other words, if you act like an animal, so the wild animals will treat you like an animal, and, right, it's like a cause and effect. The Lashem Niknas Lomisa, that bothered me. But yeah, maybe, yeah, okay. Here, thank you. So Shmuel argues in Domer Shmuel ain't bein olam zelim was Mashiach el shiun machil spilvad. So before Shimon Lazar simply said that in the Messianic era everyone's gonna be wealthy. Shmuel says no, it's gonna be like a regular derech hateva existence, a regular natural existence. The only difference is that the Messianic age, we're not gonna be enslaved in servitude to the other nations of the world. But with respect to everything else, there will be will be normal. Because the pasuk says, "Shenemar klo yechdal ev yom mikerav haaretz," that a poor person will not stop being from your land. There'll be poor people even in the messianic era. Tanya, Rabbi Lezer Kapper, and Rabbi Lezer Kapper says, "Lo mivakish adam rachm al mida zu." Person should always ask for mercy on this mida, that you shouldn't become poor. Shaf im hu ba im lo ba ba beno. And even if you don't become poor, your kids will become poor. If your kids don't become poor, lo ba, ben beno, ba, his grandkids become poor. Shenamar ki biglal davar zeh, that it says you should give tzedakah, that because of this thing, Hashem will bless you. V'tana d'vi Rabbi Shmuel, galgal hu shechozer ba'olam. He wants to say from the word biglal ha'davar, it's a galgal, that it happens. L'maisa, it happens if, you know, that some people are rich, but their kids will be poor, their grandkids will be poor. It's just a circle that goes around. Rabbi Yosef Nick Kitinon. We have a tradition. Haitzu Mirbanan, a scholar lo miane does not become poor. Vakasai de miane. We find many scholars who are poor. Imisa de miane ahadur apischalom ader. Yeah, if he's poor, though, he's not gonna knock on the doors collect tzedakah. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so Amar la Rav Chia. I don't know what to do with people who do that nowadays, but okay. So Amalav Rav Chia Lidvisu. So Rav Chia said to his wife, Ki Asi Anya, when a poor people comes before you, Akdim Alei Rifta, bring, give him bread. Ki Yichdi Lekami Livanach, so that they will give bread to your children when they become poor. Now, basically, they're assuming that what goes around comes around. We're going to be, if we're not poor, kids are going to become poor, and these poor people will eventually become rich. So you want them to remember you. Amrulay melat kalait lahu. What are you cursing our children? They become poor. Amrulah krah kaksiv. There's a pasuk which says, "Keep law davar zeh." We have a pasuk which says it's a circle that if we're not poor, our kids will be poor. Tanya, Rabbi Omer, Ben Rabbi said, "And he will give mercy to you, and he will have pity on you, and he will give you a lot." Anyone who is merachim al habrios, they will be merachim on you from Shemayim v'chosh, in merachim al brios. And anyone who is not merachim on people, in merachim al bina Shemayim, Shemayim will not be merachim on you. I need to stop here, and I have more time tomorrow. We'll catch up tomorrow, and we'll do a daf a little more. Okay? I have to run now, actually, okay? So have a great day, and...